Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my 21st century talk for a no-bullshit world. Well, because it is a no-bullshit world, right, Troy?
Right.
I have Troy Titus Adams in the studio with me today.
Hey, Troy. Well, hello there. Yeah, it's lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you, Troy. I love this whole guest host thing that you've been doing. Thanks so much. Yeah, if you want to check Troy out, she was on the very second day, right? September 2nd was our first day.
Yes. Mm.
So go listen in what Troy has to say, but she's going to be part of today because today's Movie Monday, and we are reviewing a movie we both watched this weekend, The Equalizer.
Yes, sirree.
What do you think about that? I mean, let's not give it away too soon.
No, we can't.
But it's a badass is another.
Oh, it's totally badass. Oh my gosh, Denzel Washington is amazing in this movie. This guy is, you know, he's 60, right?
Him and Liam Neeson rock it at the same, right?
Interesting. Two leads,
in
two
the
major.
Last 2 weeks.
Exactly. We're and over the age that. Of 40, yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well over the age of 40 and as badass as you can get.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. We're going to talk about that. I'm really excited about that. I have a lot of notes on that one. But let's, of course, we do take a lot of notes around here. We're going to go around the globe, though, for the latest stories. Today's top news stories. Well, a couple light ones here. Nothing too major. It was a weekend. Beautiful weekend, right?
Beautiful weekend. It was amazing. Weather was great.
Weather was great. First weekend of fall, so hopefully you enjoyed it. Did a lot of fun stuff. Well, we're calling this first one, Move Over, McDonald's. Here comes Burger King. I mean, this is fun. Okay, Microsoft, of course, everybody knows Microsoft, is opening, and we're set to open their flagship store in Manhattan's Fifth Avenue. Swanky. Very swanky. The software behemoth confirmed it's planning to open its first New York City flagship store just blocks away from Apple's flagship store, known as
Surprise,
down the street. Well, it's about 5 blocks away. You know, the Cube is on 58th Street. I know it. And then they're looking at the former Fendi space. It's at 677 Fifth Avenue, which is at 53rd Street. For any of you folks are going up there. But amazing little strip right there. And, you know, 5 years ago, Microsoft, quote, kicked off their retail push. Yeah. But 5 years ago.
How's that working for you?
they told them. I love that. Yeah. What the hell happened in that 5 year? A lot of brokers are looking for a lot of properties. They couldn't secure anything. I don't know. Let me tell you. Been in real estate. Pretty easy to find. No, they told the journal, Wall Street Journal, they're going to open a, quote, full-size store at Fifth Avenue. Why? Well, they have current operations, which they do. Kiosks. They call them specialty stores. There's one in Columbus Circle. I actually know that one, but nothing full size.
Well, you know what? They do have the benefit of having seen Apple run their operation, how slick it is. So I would imagine that this is going to be quite innovative.
It better be. Apple's got hundreds throughout the world. They have 4 flagships in Manhattan. I mean, they're like entertainment centers, and we'll talk about that. But yeah, check it out. They said, well, I will say this. Microsoft did open a full-size store at Times Square for the launch of their original Surface tablets. That was in 2012, but they closed it a couple months later. Yeah, that happens, though, sometimes at Times Square. I've seen that store open a few months later, but who knows what they put into it. It's amazing, you know, just building out a space, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But, hey, they have more than 100 stores on its locations page in U.S., Canada, Puerto Rico, but... And I know they do the thing with Best Buy. They have some, like, a store, whatever they're called, the in-store, you know, platform set up. But what do you think? Microsoft's going head-to-head with the Cube. I don't know.
Well, you know, they can try, right?
They could try. You and Apple. I turned Apple, I would say, well, at Kellogg, we had the Apple computers, but it was like the first generation, right?
Then Do you remember those big things?
Remember those?
Oh, wow, that's just... It used to. It looked like a space machine. Yeah, you know when you.
Did.
You know when you first saw those
more
desktops.
More plastic than screen.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. And it seemed like the PC was light years ahead of it because it was this big bulky thing with a you know, a colored strip at the bottom. It just looked like something that was very disposable and not very durable. And look at us now. We're Apple everything.
I know. What do you like? You like Apple? You
go I have to say I like Apple.
Yeah, me too.
I like a big old crunchy Apple.
Why don't you sort of kind of cross over to Apple? Why don't you go A? You never go M? No, I don't know. Either way, I'm an Apple fan, so yeah. So I don't think I'll be visiting a new store. How about you?
No.
No? Yeah. Anyway, moving on from entertainment to some Wall Street news. Here we go. The big get better. Always. Well, or bigger. Let's go with that. The big get bigger. I don't have to get better. SoftBank. Everybody hear this news? Okay. It's in the works here. Sale talk. It's a $3 billion play for DreamWorks Animation has sent the company stock DreamWorks stopped soaring. It was up 20% pre-market trading. I'm not sure where it is right now, folks. I didn't check it since we came into the studio. But, you know, everybody knows SoftBank is a Japanese telecommunications internet giant with investments such companies as Sprint, Yahoo Japan, Alibaba. That was the big, big deal that went public billions. Yeah, you know, DreamWorks got that big library, right? Kung Fu Panda, How to Train Your Dragon, Shrek. Yeah, it's interesting. And they invest in TV and digital space through their Awesomeness TV, and they got the deal with Netflix. So, you know, the big do get bigger, and what the Wall Street analyst, I got a kick out of this, Troy, you know, a little bit of Wall Street background, says that the Wall Street analysts think the deal makes sense. You think?
Mm-hmm.
I personally never met an investment banker that didn't think a $3.4 billion deal with the fees associated with that alone called, 1 or 2%, that didn't make sense. You know, that's like asking a real estate broker saying, hey, buddy, you know, should I hire you to sell my $25 million mansion? And the guy's like, nah, don't hire me. Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Guys, they get bigger, but... Well, why are they doing this? You know, but it does, oftentimes it does make sense, because look what's happened with DreamWorks. They have an uneven track record. So they have the up and down, right? They have Turbo, that wasn't very big, the Mountain, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. So what they're really doing is they're getting the capital behind them to level things out.
Right.
Because, you know, they spend a lot of money for these.
Yeah, right? They've got some losses there. You know.
They got some losses, some gains, but yeah, to level it out. But that's oftentimes what happens. They just get acquired, they get bigger and bigger, and who knows? And then they can go bankrupt, and the government bails them out.
Yeah, no. But there's, you know, they're still living in mansions. You know, they're not quite an apartment living yet.
You know what I mean? Who the people involved and anybody
involved.
Touching those deals?
Right.
They're living in more than man. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. It's
floor throughs on the Upper East Side.
Yeah, we have to put this in perspective, right?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of fees. You know, it's like they say, passing the cake around. That's at real estate brokers, and then mm-hmm. the crumbs that fall off. Well, that's what the brokers get.
Uh-huh.
Never get a piece of the pie, but pretty big crumbs. Speaking of crumbs, what do you eat with a crumb cake? Coffee, right? You know, today's National or International or Coffee Day.
I think that's wonderful.
I got a kick out of this one. Yeah, you know, check it out. You can go hashtag National Coffee Day. But Joe, anyone? Because today, September 29th, is National Coffee Day. Holy cow. You know, they're giving away free coffee.
Where?
Check it out. Dunkin' Donuts. Right? They're giving a free medium dark roast coffee, Krispy Kreme.
Oh, Lord.
Free small coffee, or you get the latte mocha or the iced coffee for $1. Mickey D's, McDonald's. I'll be honest with you. When I went to get my coffee this morning, I didn't know McDonald's was giving a free small coffee during breakfast because I would have been there.
See, I can't in good conscience set foot in any of those restaurants.
What?
No, I just don't. I don't agree with what they put in their food
Wawa?
And all
what about
of that.
Wawa?
Well,
you get a free 16-ounce cup of coffee there. I mean, well, what are you talking about? You don't even go to McDonald's?
No, absolutely not. I couldn't be seen. I couldn't be photographed going into a McDonald's.
I couldn't be photographed.
Oh,
holy
no,
cow!
No.
Hoity-toity over
no,
here.
No, even in the back of somebody else's shot.
Oh,
you know what I mean? I
God.
Could not be.
You
caught.
Mean you can't? You're not going to photobomb if I was doing like a little selfie with the girl at the front? Come
no.
on, I know everybody over there.
No, I can't
Come
do
on,
it.
Troy.
I'm sorry. No, the Golden Arches has had a lot of business from a lot of people and ruined a lot of people's health. Can't do it. Sorry, Richie Rich.
You say you were English?
Yes, I am English.
I'm not going to infer anything.
What are you
I'm
trying to say?
I'm not going to infer anything. All I know is these four establishments who, quite frankly, I grew up on Dunkin' Donuts. Everybody back east goes to Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, come on. Krispy Kreme, arguably the best donuts out there. And Wawa, I can't go wrong with a Wawa. Come on. Anytime you're driving and pull off the highway, you need...
I think we should agree to disagree on that one.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one because Troy wouldn't be caught setting foot in one of those establishments. Well, let me tell you about this event. I didn't know about this. This was new to me. I read this on Wikipedia. Get a lot of stuff. Who knows whether? I don't know who's writing it all for Wikipedia, but it's an annual event. It's observed on September 29th at a handful of countries, okay, for celebration and enjoyment of the popular beverage, coffee. No kidding, right? And it's also... this day is used to promote the Fair Trade Coffee Act, I guess, or anything involving fair trade with coffee, and to raise awareness for the plight of the coffee growers. I'm not that familiar with the plight of the coffee. Are you?
No, I'm not, but I find it very interesting.
I do. I want to know what the plight is. It in insects? Is it dealing with organics? I mean, wonder what it's dealing
with.
Well,
it might just be their conditions on how they pick the coffee and how they are treated, you know. Paid.
Yeah, or maybe beaten down in price.
Right,
sorts of things. Product. Yeah, you know, we're going to research into that because this was first celebrated in Japan. I'm a coffee drinker. Are you?
Oh, yeah. I love my coffee. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I have to do it.
Yeah. How many I'm a tea drinker as well, of course, because I am a Brit.
Of course. Who you isn't? You're a Brit. Of course.
Yeah.
Afternoon tea?
Definitely afternoon tea.
Afternoon tea.
Yes, when there's a crisis, let's put the kettle on. That's what happens.
Oh, my. Oh, this is first celebrated in Japan. Can you believe it? Not by the Brits. No, that's maybe tea. But no, by the All Japan Coffee Association in 1983. So that was over 20 years ago. And then in China, came to China in 1997. Okay. Then it evolved, I like to use that word, to Nepal and the U.S. in 2005. But the U.S. really didn't start celebrating it until 2009 when it coincided with the New Orleans Coffee Festival.
That's really interesting that it started in Japan because I always thought of those countries, you know, being jasmine, green tea,
exactly.
Not big coffee drinkers. Interesting.
But here's what my theory is on that. Theory. Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking the All Japan Coffee Association. So apparently, maybe you had to be of Japanese heritage and or based in Japan, right? The All Japan, calling it all. And because they're a coffee association, they're sort of like bucking the trend, right?
Right.
So they start these associations. Many of these associations are started kind of in opposition to. So maybe this might have been started, me speculating, of course, in opposition to everybody drinking so much damn sake and tea. Give me some coffee here. Give me some Joe.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, when the wars were fought, a lot of guys in the U.S., they drank Joe, I believe, right?
And it's economics, right? Because then, you know, understandably, Japan like American products. They like the American,
sure.
They like everything American. Very interesting that, really, considering how they are globally.
Waikiki. We talked about that recently. Yeah, so there's one little exception. You know, I like exceptions to the rule, Troy. Mm-hmm. Always have exceptions. Indonesia. Get this. They came to celebrate the day, 2006, on August 17th. Why? Coincides with their Independence Day.
Oh.
So, not sure if Indonesia's still on their own program. Maybe they are. But for the rest of the world, hey, happy coffee day.
Yeah, go and grab some caffeine.
Go and grab some caffeine. So what do you think they were drinking? I think they were drinking a lot of coffee at Clooney's wedding this weekend.
Oh, darling, I think it would have been champagne.
Oh, for sure.
Bottles of Bollinger. Yes, I think lots of champagne in Venezia.
Oh, beautiful. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Clooney and Mrs. Clooney, Amal. I mean, she looked amazing. She had this cream-colored jumpsuit on. She really is.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a barrister. So
she's awesome.
Well, which is another term for a lawyer.
Oh, right. Barrister. She's smart, right.
She's very smart. She's a human rights lawyer at that.
Forget about it. She's right for him.
Yeah, she's perfect for him. I think it's a perfect match.
Perfect fit. I heard her father was already calling for the grandkids. Like, yo, get started.
Get going. They're going to be gorgeous.
Of course. So speaking of gorgeous, well, for the ladies out there, Jeter played his last game. How to get that in?
Yes, and didn't the ball get thrown out of bound, and then it got someone caught it and then switched the ball. The ball boy switched the ball. Yeah, and threw back the other ball.
Right. Well, they do that to preserve the. Well, I mean, you get a base hit, so for Jeter to keep the ball would be nice. So you're saying they got to throw the ball back in and then threw a ball back out.
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch the game, I will say, but I know he hit a 93-mile-an-hour fastball for a base hit, 3,465th hit. Amazing, you know, when you just think, man, I'm going to just say one last thing. The guy on his very last at bat, I mean, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, there's a whole Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, none of them got a hit on their last at bat. And his last two games, Jeter went 1-for-2. Saturday, 1-for-2. Sunday, and what are you going to do? He played 2,660 games at shortstop. And that's it. But I'll tell you.
And awesome, he's an African-American, right?
He is. Yes, he is.
His
father's African-American. His mother's right, Caucasian.
That's amazing. That's cool.
Amazing.
Just so cool.
Well, there you go. Congrats, Derek Jeter. Amazing career. Thanks so much. You gave us a lot of material last week. There was.
Even I watched it. I watched it because of last week's show.
Oh, I think he got the highest ratings on both. It was the game, the last home game, and then yesterday's game.
Oh, it was all over the news, and he's so gracious, and what a gorgeous man. Just, you know, gorgeous in and out.
In and out. Oh, class all around. And Clooney does that. No drama. He's never really had any drama. These two folks are talking about.
No, they keep their private life private, actually.
Class.
Yeah.
For
it is class. And money cannot buy you class.
That's
so
for
Kanye,
sure.
Take note. Yeah. Kim Kardashian, take note.
No, you're right. Got to go with class. Speaking of class, this gentleman over here, the equalizer. Woof. Woof. Well, let's give it a little, let's give some details. I know Troy's going to be gushing over this. Now, we rate this. This is a rating system. Well, you know what? I was thinking. Wait a minute. Before we do that, do we want to give the Get Your Shit Together Award, Troy? Get that out of the way before we go into...
Oh, yeah. I love that award. I love that award. That's a good award.
All right. Hold on, folks. We're going to go with that. Let's do that. We're going to go Get Your Shit Together Award. We're actually adding a question of the day today.
Oh.
Another segment. Notice how we have these different segments, right? The stories. We get the Get Your Shit Together Award. The theme of the day. We're going to have a question of the day. Pretty excited. Here we go. Calling this, well, there's actually a tie. It's a tie. And they're both, to me, half-baked dimwits, but we're calling this half-baked bandit. Look at this guy. Takes place in Phoenix, Arizona. Anybody hear about this? Now, this actually took place, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, but the guy's getting arraigned tomorrow, so the news is kind of all out. Former UPS employee, not sure what that means, but a former UPS employee in Arizona is accused of stealing a package containing a $160,000 diamond and trading it for a $20 bag of weed. $20 sack pyramid, Dr. Dre's. I was, can you believe this jackass? What is it? One or two joints you get out of that? And the guy steals. Petty thievery.
You kind of have to think that he must have been so desperate. Dumb and desperate.
Dumb and desperate. The double D's.
Yeah.
Double D. Walter Earl Morrison, 20.
Right, 20?
20-year-old kid. The other kid's 23. Okay, he thought the package, right, that he was uploading, he was doing cargo. He's like at the Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. He thought it contained cash. Well, first of all, who the hell's putting a package with cash? And I wonder the diamond had to be insured, but I don't know. If it was a $160,000 diamond, I might have to be carrying that in my pocket. Well, who knows? Who knows where that's coming from? I don't know the details there. But the guy thought it was cash. They arrest him for felony. He's getting arraigned tomorrow. Just to bounce into this other bozo, 23-year-old, right? Real estate broker, okay? Andrew Bauer, his co-worker. Now, this is the woman he works in the office with. Goes away for a month with her husband. Says, hey, can you house sit? We're co-workers. And this guy, St. Louis, this jackass steals $100,000 worth of jewelry from this woman.
Oh.
And you know why? Yeah, he wanted to pay off some debts and buy a new car. Hey, jackass.
Buy a new car.
$25,000. So first of all, this whole petty thievery. It comes by, you can't win, no way. And if you start at a young age, let me give you a little story with my Sicilian aunts, Tina and Concetta. They were amazing. Didn't speak English. Imagine these two Sicilian Well, no car. We would drive. We would get, aside from the, you know, the chickens, we'd walk the chickens home, and she'd like break the net. I mean, I'm not even going to get into that. But, oh, yeah, this was old school. She would pluck the chicken. When I was a little kid, we used to get washed in the sink. I'll never forget. I was like tiny. I remember taking us to the store, and they always had candy out. You know, you weigh it. When she would always just give us candy as we're walking by, we would like eat the candy. You're a 3-year-old kid. You're like, oh, you wouldn't. That's. Never paid for the candy. But what the hell do I know? I was 3 years old. I mean, I didn't give a shit. Give me the candy. I mean, but like little petty stuff like that. Then later, maybe, who knows, kids, like, you don't even want to do that. But if it occurs, hey, you know, more power to the ants. But no, petty thievery could take many, many forms. I mean, I've seen it even in the restaurant business. I mean,
well, you know, it's a domino effect on your life if you get caught, and it's really about that risk factor. Having said that, I almost walked out of Marshall's the other day. I was shopping with Hendrix, my young son, in his stroller, and because he was playing around with some clothes, I just put it at the top of the stroller. Mm. But there was a canopy, so the clothes got trapped between the canopy, so I didn't see them. So I'm at the checkout and I pay for everything. I walk out the store and all of a sudden I see this stuff in the canopy. I'm already halfway to the parking garage. So part of me goes, oh, well. And then I go, no, that's stealing. You have to go back.
Got to go back.
So I turn around and I went back. And you know what? They were thankful, but they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I've just inadvertently walked out of the store. I didn't pay for this. You didn't pay for it. No, I didn't pay for it. So what do you want to do? I said, I would like to pay for it.
Oh, you shit. Know that? No, they like couple. Yeah. Got to get a couple brain cells to rub together. So. Who the hell are they hiring over there? I don't want to make comments on that. Hey, that's another thing. If you're working, I don't care who you are. If you're working for minimum wage or any number, you got to work hard. You got to do a great job.
Absolutely. Don't always.
Take
integrity.
Take pride in what you do. So if this woman comes back, first of all, they should be smiling, you know, sending out you good energy, and then saying, hey, look at this, was a good thing. Set an example. Come on, people. We got to get your shit together all around. You too, Troy. Now, Troy says try to swipe fruit from Marshall's. I mean, come on. The prices are so good as it is, Troy. You're like, forget about it.
I said inadvertently.
Inadvertently.
Yes.
Inadvertently.
It was not on purpose.
Okay. Wasn't on purpose. Like this jackass who's stealing the diamond is not on purpose. No, but if it's on purpose, something like that, of course. But hey, that's a good thing. That's a good quality. You went back.
Yeah, and I've been taught that from an early age. I stole some sweets, candy, sorry for the translation, when I was little. I was about 7 or 8 and on the way to school. And I told my mum, she found the candy and she knew I didn't have any money. Where'd you get it from? And I told her, and she made me go back to that store, the shop, the next day, tell the shopkeeper that I had stolen it, and to apologize. Yes, ooh. Ouch.
Yeah.
But that was a great lesson.
Great lesson.
Great lesson. Integrity is all we have. So, you know what? I'm not one of
Ground
those people
zero.
Who goes, oh, I got it for free. I'm like, no. You know? I can't do that. It doesn't feel good.
No. Well, I have to say, if you read a chapter in that memoir, I fell off the truck here. I had a lot of uncles when I was growing up.
Oh, well, that's different.
Sicilians are different, right?
That's different. It was in England.
But hey, if you're going to steal, you better steal big. I mean, hey, don't go with the petty thing.
It's
gotta be like James Bond and try to steal $1 billion.
Well, and get the hell out of Dodge, right?
Right. You better learn how to use it.
You know,
whatever.
That guy who stole from his coworker, so he's gonna be.
That's just ridiculous. It's one.
He's gonna have
to
a brand new car.
Yeah, it's one thing to stay over a friend's place for a couple of days and eat the damn cold pizza in the fridge, but it's another to go into the savage through the ladies. No, he took brooches, pins, watches. I mean, what the hell are you thinking, you jackass? Like, what, are you going to tell her, ooh, somebody must have broke in when I was there and stole it and didn't leave a trace? That's just pure stupidity. You got to get your shit together. It's like with anything, people. And it's all interconnected. Everything's interconnected. So you're doing it because you want to improve your life and you want to evolve your life and be worthy of being with quality people. Because the more time you elevate yourself, I do believe that.
Don't crap on people.
Don't crap on people because it's going to come right back, circle right around to you.
Amen.
No kidding. All right, there we go. We get that out of the way. I wanted to get that out of the way because now we're going to go with this badass who would, these guys are nothing. They're like flies he'd be swatting around. No, but this, let's talk about this. This movie premiered on September 26th and its first weekend did $35 million, right? Big. It did... It was in 3,236 theaters, which means it did about 11,000 per theater. It's a good number, real big number. We're going to give you some box office numbers later. I had a $55 million budget. Stars Denzel Washington as Robert Bob McCall. He's a man with a past, don't you, right?
Yeah, I like it.
And he tries to put that mystery behind him, well, mysterious past. He does, but he gets, as we know, called to action, right? For actors, choice and actor, you know, it's a call to action. And by actually to help this young prostitute friend, Terry, well, she goes by different names.
Alina
is a Chloe Grace Moretz. You know, she's been around a while. You know, she started 2001, this young girl.
Yeah, and actually she has a Jodie Foster Taxi Driver esque about her, you know?
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with her, but she did a really good job. Mm. I really liked her. David Harbour's in it. We know him from A Walk Among the Tombstones. He's a bad guy. Melissa Leo's in it. Bill Pullman, nothing huge. They do a good job. This guy, Martin Sakas, C-S-O-K-A-S, he plays Teddy. He was in The Bourne Supremacy. He's all
that's
the bad
where
end, right?
He's from.
I told you.
Yes.
He's really good.
Oh,
that guy,
I like him.
Doesn't he? I think he's all awesome. I mean, he's a definitely supporting character type.
He's great.
He's awesome. No, he's awesome. And this Johnny Skortis, he's the guy who plays Ralphie. I'm not that familiar with him, but he did a pretty good job, too. Produced by, you know, Denzel was one of the producers, Todd Black's famous producer, the director, Antoine Fuqua, he did Training Day.
Yes.
I mean, so he's worked with Denzel, and you could really feel the energy. Like, when directors, like, you know, sometimes they work with actors often or time again. The stunt coordinators, Troy specifically texted me. She watched the movie the day before I did, and she's like, you got to get the stunt coordinator's name. There's two guys, one from Inception, Lynn Oding, and then Stephen O. Young from Thor. I mean, Troy, the fight scenes. Well, you're a fighter, you know.
Well, I just noticed I train at the Guru Inocento's gym, the Inocento Martial Academy, Martial Arts Academy in Marina Del Rey. Okay. And Guru Dan Inocento was Bruce Lee's best friend and training partner. And so a lot of the stunt fighters, coordinators, fighters all come out of the Inocento Academy. So when I was watching the fight scenes, I was recognizing some of the knife, you know, we train stick, knife, sword, weaponry stuff. I noticed some of the movements were very Sifu Bruce and Guru Inocento. So I was very interested to see. But I bet you they've all had a little something-something to do with the Inocento Academy. Because the Book of Eli was Guru Jeff Imada, and he's directly out of the Academy.
Oh, that was awesome, too. No, that's interesting. No, I could totally say that. Well, Bruce Lee was, forget it. I mean, I blogged about him.
Oh, yeah. Well, untouchable.
Another icon, legend. No, this was, wow, that's interesting.
So the fight scenes were awesome. And yeah. I really, for me, I pay particular attention to that. And the same in the Bourne Identity movies. Those
great
are also
fight scenes.
Yeah, they're also out of the Academy. So you can just tell because it's great fighting. And, you know, the thing about this movie for me was that Denzel was just a powerhouse on screen. He's in his 60s, but he didn't take his shirt off. He wasn't trying to be like all pumped and, you know, looking all gorgeous in that Hollywood way. He was just Denzel, just a normal guy. You know, he had a certain swag.
Well, wait a minute. Let me get into that. I don't know about just a normal guy. Wait a minute. Not exactly.
Well,
he was too, first of
all right, quirky.
We're not going to give, first of all, we're going to be careful not to give too much away. But here we're talking about, I'm going to use these words, exact, sterile. I mean, when you first get introduced to this guy, you know, he works over at the Home Depot or whatever, the Home, I don't even know.
Home Mart.
Home
they
Mart.
Use.
Okay, not the Home Depot. Home Mart. But his life was just too, it was too orderly, right? Extremely orderly. And we're talking about a killer. I mean, this guy is beyond killer. He's a beyond killer who, when you get introduced to him, total badass. Well, I agree with you with the age and all that. But imagine, in killing and in what he does, it's the polar opposite. It's chaos.
Right.
But his life, I think it's almost like he not only does he live an alter ego, but I mean, he looks like so extremely zen that he's reached a samadhi. Everybody knows the eighth limb of yoga, but it's like you think any minute this guy's ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Of course, he left his past behind, and that unravels in the movie. But
not completely, by the way, which I think they leave to future sequels for sure.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, I do too. No, this is totally set up to be, I mean, he could have a million of these. The killing is superb, right?
Yeah, and I actually love the way that Antoine Fuqua directs and his vision, because there's a lot of imagery. There's not a whole lot of dialogue, but there is a lot of imagery
that
tells the story and moves the plot along. Mm. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and it's very friendly cinematography. The cinematography is very friendly. And just the right amount of slow motion. I'm a big slow-mo fan. Yeah. Just, right? Yeah, yeah, like, you know, this whole thing comes to... I mean, again, I want to compare him to the Liam Neeson. I mean, when these guys, they carry these films.
And, yes, carry being the operative word. I mean, he opened a major movie, major money. So he is still... You know, probably the last of the big Hollywood movie stars who can open a movie like that.
Like that and carry it with those big numbers. Yeah, it wasn't. But how about that friendship between him and Chloe? This unlikely friendship, but it made sense.
I think the way that it was orchestrated, it was so genuine. Because, yeah, he's in a diner, she's in a diner, and it's... You see the same person over and over again. You know it yourself. You keep seeing the same person at the gym. You say hi. And then you have this... interesting relationship, you know?
But it could have gone the other way. It could have gone creepy because she was a prostitute, pretty banged up, pretty mixed up. But, you know,
right.
Here's what I liked about this. It has intelligent sub-themes, right?
Yes.
With the reading, it's got poetry in it, pursuing your passion. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, he didn't step in to be her father, but, you know, he did set it out to her that anything's possible.
Right.
And that's what the, right, everything
You can change your life.
You can change your life. That's what he talks about. It's like almost too good to be true, like what they have going on, and you're wondering. But, of course, that's a little predictable, I will say. There's
going
to be a call to action, and it's going to involve her. You know, did he... So what do you think? Did he fall in love with her, and in what way?
No, I don't think he fell in love with her. I think that she was the daughter that he never had, and...
Well, doesn't that mean he fell in love with her?
Well, it depends in what
sense
you
mean. I think
he did. Yeah.
I think he did, because I think when he heard, when they're in the... diner. Mm-hmm. The guy kind of alerts him to what occurred. You know, he said he had to go. Like, yeah, everything about this guy, he didn't have let's put it this way. His life was not complex.
Right.
His mysterious past was extremely complex.
Right.
But what he had kind of lived this life, I think it's just to get through the days. But, I mean, I'm thinking, I did think he loved her like a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
And what do you think happened with his wife? Without giving too much away. Bad or good? Just give me you think it was bad or good?
I think she probably died of cancer or something like that.
I think it was me too.
Yeah.
I'm going with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what I really like? This part. You'll know this part. When he said, I'm sorry. Remember the one time? And then who's he saying that to? At first, was it God or was it his wife?
Yeah.
Because God comes into this a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think it's... Yeah, as Melissa Leo's character says, you know, he was seeking permission.
I know.
Right?
That was crazy. There's a good scene with her.
See, and that's what I love. Here's Melissa Leo, amazing actress, and she does, two scenes? And she kills it.
She kills it.
She kills it.
Yeah, not so much Bill Pullman, her. She kills it.
No, she kills it.
She kills it.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
Speaking of killer, yeah, there's like heart. I will say, not a lot of really kind of, you know, no tearjerker. There's no tearjerkerness to it. There's no sex. There's no, you know, it's one of these films again. You got Liam, these guys, they don't need any
goodness,
of that.
No
great
sex.
Fight scenes.
Why do we always need to have, I mean,
awesome
really?
Bad guys, huh? Just
yes.
No, there's awesome bad guys.
Now,
like
that's a turn on.
It's a big turn. So Troy and I, let's do this because I'm going to let you, I'm going to rate this, but yeah, I'm my own, you kind of see now my ratings. I got to go with, let's do it again. 0 is like you walked out of the theater, that bad. 3, you know, that's like excellence, Braveheart. I'm telling you, you got to put, it's tough to get a 3. It may, should I go first or should you go first? I'll let you go first. Ladies first. Where'd you give this? Now you got the half scores too.
All right, 2.5.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I said
2.75.
I'm giving it a 2.
Okay, now
I'm only Troy, you're over the top. Why? Because of Denzel.
Because I like a crime action drama with all of that fighting and that storyline and that imagery.
I got that.
I thought that they covered everything. Really good acting, good solid story, plot was moved along. Love the action and the fighting. It all came together as one. And normally those films are just like, oh, well, he was good and he was good. To me, the whole cast was good. It was an ensemble piece with Denzel at the helm. But I love the character of Ralphie. I love, you know, obviously, you know, Chloe Grace Moretz.
But let me interject. This is what these films are missing, in my opinion. By the way, on the Fast Five, are you an action thriller? You had to be. You couldn't have been a tearjerker. Okay, I really like, I'll tell you what I found with that movie, The Identical, where there are these raw emotional scenes where there's a big time. I mean, there could have been a little more, I think, range in terms of flavors here, in terms of emotion. Like with the girl, it could have been, her story could have been played out more where you saw more emotional opportunity for Denzel.
I don't know,
Troy. I have to say, I didn't feel, sometimes I want to feel, you know, you want to get that couple times. I gave it a 2 thumbs, folks. I gave it 2 thumbs, but I think with Denzel, yeah, I could see where you got to the 2.5.
Could you not see it?
But I don't want to see
eyes,
that. I'm not going to go
struggle.
See that again.
Oh, well, I would.
Oh, see, you would. See, I would.
Oh, no, I
One
definitely
One time
would.
For me, it was a great, I would definitely see it in the theater, folks. It's not a movie you want to wait. I would go see it.
And don't sit next to a jackass who takes out his phone 10 times.
Oh, that's bullshit. You sat next to some bozo using his phone?
Yeah. I mean, all his brains were in his biceps. Not only was his big biceps pushing me off the side, I don't know what he was doing, but 10 times he took out that phone. And let me tell you what this film did. Yes, you know, I can get angry, but I'm quite graceful most of the time.
I can get angry.
Yeah, but I can get angry.
I can see it.
And I was struggling because I was thinking, I'm here by myself seeing this movie. This guy is about 6'3". He's got huge muscles. And I don't want to embarrass him so he lashes out, you know, that way. But I do need to let him know that what he did was disrespectful. And I was toying with it. I was thinking, what would my husband say? He'd say, keep your mouth shut. Just go home. Well, I said, well, if I don't see him, fine. So I let him go and I watched some of the credits and then I had to go. I saw him waiting outside the ladies' loo. And I said to myself, are you going to walk over there? Are you going to walk past? And I walked right over to him. And I said, excuse me, I just have to say, you took out your phone at least 10 times during that movie. I paid $13.50 to see this movie. And I find that highly disrespectful on so many levels.
Ooh.
I just thought you needed to know. And you know what he said? Oh, okay.
Awesome. Troy, that's awesome. Everybody should do that. Well, because most people go home without saying anything because it's easier to do that.
No, I had to say something.
But the concern I have is you were concerned that this bozo, if you'd said something to him in the theater, would lash out. That's like an interesting...
Well,
it's unfortunate for you to have to think that way, but that's probably preconditioned. You've seen people lose it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen guys lose it. And yes, maybe I did judge a book by its cover. He's got short sleeves and big muscles, and he looks a bit like a, you know...
A thug?
I don't want to say a thug, but just someone who was classless, right? And who would maybe lash out and then think afterwards. But I didn't want to take the risk. I'm like, do I really need to take the risk? But for me, it's right and wrong. And even if, you know, he didn't apologize, I felt much better about being able to say to him, you're a disrespectful man. And I'm a woman that has noticed that you're sitting next to me and you're taking out your phone and you're disrespecting me. And you don't care about anybody else but yourself because you're so self-involved. Ugh!
Yeah, that's a...
Sorry,
that's a jerk
off my soapbox.
Yeah, people don't realize that. Another thing is the people next to me were eating. So, it's like, you know, when you're hearing someone eat and the crackling of all the damn chips, and let's just put it this way, they didn't need to be eating for the next, like, 10 days.
Oh, so, Rich, sorry. I have to just interject on that one thing. I went up to the concessions, okay, and, you know, see the popcorn and everything. Do you realize that a soda that they give you and a box, the smallest popcorn, is 3,110 calories.
It's absurd. Whatever it is, you shouldn't be eating it there. That I definitely agree. Anything you eat at the movie theater, first of all, they should not let you carry it into the theater because most people just drop it on the floor. They're totally disrespectful of their environment. They're disrespectful of you. The lady's fussing around. What? Doesn't matter. I'm like, you know what I do is I go to that zone. I'm like, let's get in the zone, take a deep breath, stay within your space.
Right.
Because they're distracting people. You got to get your shit together. No, this guy, but what I heard you say, which was interesting, you don't want to judge a book by its cover. I like how you did a little preface, Troy. Like, this guy looked classless. He looked like a bozo. And that's right. Another thing, folks. Hey, man, I got to give a kudos to my parents because, hey, We may not have had the most money of everybody in the town, but we always look good because, hey, it was about looking good, feeling good. You got to put your best out there, you know, mm-hmm. Get hit by a bus. At least you don't have dirty underwear. Everybody knows that saying. So, no, yes, you got to, hey, look good. You could have your own style. I have my own style, but you shouldn't be, I was never big on one looking classless. You don't want, you got to look the best you possibly can. And whatever, this guy with the phone. I'll tell you, that's...
Yeah, but it's disrespectful.
Of course it is.
You know, take out your phone if it's just you, right? No problem. But it illuminates the whole theater every time you take out your phone. So, you know, you've got 100 people sitting in a movie theater trying to enjoy themselves, and you're taking out your phone every 5 minutes.
It's the same jackass who uses the 45s and doesn't put them back. Bet you $1 million on that boat. Bozo circle jerking in the gym with his buddies. Say, buddy, get your shit together. Yeah, people, could be respectful. I go to the movies a couple times a week. Come on. You know what to do. Be quiet. Be respectful. Anyway, let's talk about this box office this week. And I want to get to this one quick question, too. We got a question of the day. But I thought I always like to look at these. The Equalizer did $35 million. Gross $35 million. The Maze Runner, it did $17.5 million, but that's slowing down, I think. It's done $58 million gross. Still good numbers. This Box Trawl did $17.2 million. It's the first weekend. This is where I leave you.
Oh, the Tina Fey movie.
It did $7 million. It's done $22 million and $22.5 million to date. And what do you think? I don't think I'm going to see that, though.
No, I think I am.
No. Oh, you are?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go see that.
We're not going to be reviewing that. No. Next week, I think it's got to be Gone Girl. That's coming out.
Oh, yes.
Got to see
that.
Yeah,
with Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike.
And Pike, yeah, she's... She played with Tom Cruise. No, she's good. Well, no, she played with Jack. Was it Jack Preacher? Yeah, that was good.
Reacher. Jack Reacher.
All right, here we go. Number five was Dolphin Tale 2. That's still hitting it. $5 million. It's got 33 gross. It's slowing down. No Good Deed, right? That's the...
Idris Elba and Taraji P.
What you call it?
Idris Elba and Taraji P. Henson movie. That looks a little bit...
I'm thinking of The Drop. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of... James Gandolfini. That's not his.
No.
He's The Drop.
No, okay. This is No Good Deed.
No Good Deed.
It looks a bit too scary
too
for me.
It's too scary. It did 4.6. It's got 46 total. How about A Walk Among the Tombstones? Still hanging in there, but it's only up to 21 gross. And then how about this Guardians of the Galaxy? 320 gross.
Wow.
Huge. Still 4 million. And then, Teenage number 9 was Let's Be Cops. It's up to 80 million. That surprised me. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is up to 187 million. So, hey, from a box office perspective, pretty good numbers. I mean, I'm waiting for a couple good new ones coming out. And how about Saturday Night Live? You know, it was the 40th season on Saturday.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Look at their number five. Top five box office stars. Eddie Murphy's done $5.8 billion. Okay, Dan Aykroyd, $4.26 billion. Robert Downey Jr.'s done about $4 billion. Ben Stiller. I loved him in Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, that movie. I really liked him in that movie. He's done $3.87 billion, and Bill Murray rounds it out with $3.43 billion.
Of course.
Hey, kudos to the guys from SNL rocking it 40 years later. So, Troy, quick question of the day. We're going to wrap it up. Violence, let me ask you this. And I don't think I've asked you this before, does violence and vigilantism, call it that way, in films, okay, does it propel adolescents or even adults, call these bozos adolescents to me, to follow suit? What do you think? And before you do that, let me tell you, I grew up in you're younger. I grew up in the 70s. We're talking, you know, Billy Jack was 71. I'll never forget that. Everybody knows that hippie commune. Then you had, forget about it. He had the High Plains Drifter with Clint Magnum Force. Remember him? Death Wish with Charles Bronson. Oh. You're talking Taxi Driver with De Niro, and then Mad Max 79. I mean,
wow.
No, all those in the That's 70s, Vigilantes, were like the rage. And hey, at first I'd say, what's the answer? I mean, what do you think? Does it affect people to go out and kill people, Bernie Getz style, and then subways, or what? Kill Bill, remember?
Well, I think you have to be have a predisposed personality to making interesting choices.
And then it would set you off. So yeah, if you have a predisposed, because, that's what you think. You
yeah, because the people that do the things like Columbine or the shoot them up in the movie theater or, you know, those kind of things. These are kids that are locked up in their room 16 hours a day on those horrible video games and so on and so forth. And I think the generation now, I think we do need to be mindful of what we put out there. I wouldn't want to censor everything, because how do you grow? How do you learn what's right and what's wrong if everything is censored? But I do think that kids should not be watching those video games. They are really violent. And I think they lull kids into a false sense of security. And I think, or even a false sense of what their world is like, because there's guns being thrown around and people being shot left, right, and center. But I don't think they get the correlation between when you shoot someone, that person is going to die, because they're so, you know, involved with this game and shooting people. They're not people on a game. They don't mean anything.
Well, let me interrupt. First of all, you're going to another place. We're not into video games. We're talking films.
Right, but it is.
But I get you there, but I disagree. I don't think, I mean, I think they know that they're going to shoot somebody they're going to kill. I think they know it.
Well, okay, the reason why I crossed over into video games is because I wouldn't like to say that films do that, and also films...
But that's the question, Troy.
Yeah, okay. But that's the question. I say no, because I think that film-wise, we pay our fee, we go. It's a certain group of people that do that, I think. A certain demographic that go, pay for a movie ticket, and go and see movies. And I think it's different with the whole video game.
Yeah, first of all, they're different worlds. I agree. So, but I do think that these films, first of all, I believe in you. I'm not a big censor guy. I don't think it should be censored.
No, I think we need to be able to censor ourselves. Yes.
Nowadays, everything's out there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if something worse is going to be put out there. If you choose to set your eyes on it, you do not have to choose to look at it.
Right.
But I definitely think a lot that goes on, I mean, when you look at a guy like Billy Jack, I mean, I have clear visuals. I remember growing up with Kung Fu. David Carradine.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone deep down in their heart wants to see the underdog, right? It's always like it's the underdog. And especially if someone's backed into a corner for the wrong reasons, you want to see him come out. So, you know, I believe in capital punishment. So it's like I'm one of these guys that says, yeah, you know what? Guess what? You know it subconsciously. And if you don't know it subconsciously, you're that messed up. Well, then we got to take you off the street. You're a danger. Can't be a danger. If you're a danger to yourself, okay, good. You want to blow your head off? I don't think it's a good idea. But don't be putting other people at risk.
Right.
Okay? And I think that they do. I do. I see this guy because you want to emulate this guy. Someone who's got a couple loose screws, like you said, it kind of prompts. You said that's like the caveat. That's like the exception to the rule.
Right.
It shouldn't be. But, hey, now kids are talking about having sex. And remember, they were having sex in the trailer of a church parking lot a couple times, and they blamed it on Rachel McAdams and unbelievable with them. You hear about the kids.
That was the brother and sister.
Yeah, the brother
That's
and sister.
Disgusting.
I mean, you could blame it on anything.
Yeah.
It's like anybody could choose to use anything. But I will say, the violence nowadays, it's almost like attainable, it feels like, in these movies. What this guy does, it's like, hey, you know what? If you had some of his skills, you could pull that off, too. Maybe not against these Russians.
But we go
guys.
To war at, you know, 18-year-olds are in war and blowing people's heads off. And so I think,
that's
you know.
That's another thing. That's the problem with war is they get everybody young and they're just not ready for war.
No.
You'd be more ready at 30, but who the hell they can't draft you at 30?
No,
seriously. Yeah, because you'd be more equipped to go and survive.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go.
Well, you wouldn't go.
No, because you have
nowadays, I know people enlist, but no. No, you wouldn't go. But back in the draft days, I was in the days in high school. I had to register. They were drafting people.
Right.
No, you got drafted. You drafted. I don't think I my year, but definitely people. You get.
I'm thankful to the people who enlist. I really am.
Hey, they
protect
they young
our civil
and,
liberties.
Yeah, they do. And I guess when you're 18, you do become an adult. So. Whatever. Who sets the rules? But there's a lot of this going on, and we're seeing this in these films, and that's why these characters. You got to love him. I'm thinking back.
He's a good guy. He's taking out the bad guys.
There you go. We want to take out the
bad guys.
Yeah,
we do.
How do we get rid of these bad guys on the street? Come on, we need another Clint Eastwood to come along in real life, right?
Yeah.
Or this guy. I gotta wonder. What I'm curious is the sequel. I will say, I will go to the sequels.
Yeah.
Because the sequels, it's like, I would like to see his past unravel. Like, let's talk more about your past.
Yeah.
How good was
it? Be great.
Like Jason Bourne did that.
Love that.
Right?
Yeah, love that.
Well, pretty cool show today, Troy.
Yeah, that's great.
Troy Titus Adams in the studio today, in the house. Yeah, so we had some fun. Tomorrow, Troy, I think I'm going to be, I think Joe's back tomorrow. I'm going to be hosting. You guys know Joe. I think I'm going to do, it's Top 10 Tuesday. Yeah, I'm not certain yet, folks, but Top 10 sports cars under, and I looked this up today. I got to do 60,000.
Oh.
Why? Got to have the Corvette. If I did 50,000, I can't get the Corvette. It's 54,000 now.
Wow.
The Corvette's got to be in the top 10. So what do you think?
Okay.
Should I go 60 or 50?
I say go 60.
Go 60.
Go 60.
If you could spend 50, you could spend 60.
Oh,
well, it's,
yeah, of course.
It's round numbers. Chump change. Hey, folks, really cool show today. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more about me, you can check me out, richtola.com, right? Troy Titus Adams, she's all out there as well, looking for her to be doing some fun stuff in the new year. And, remember, dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.